Curtis and Cosby.
The group dedicated to fight crime.
They're gonna chase it down.
From the street perspective, Curtis Sliwa.
All of it.
Please welcome Rita Cosby.
There's a lot of heat on the president.
The headlines, the issues, the people.
America!
From New York to D.C. to your neighborhood.
The Red Berets are helping the cities in fear.
Curtis Sliwa.
Founder and president of the Guardian Angels, Curtis Sliwa.
Rita Cosby.
Rita, that was an explosive interview.
Live, local, on it. Curtis and Cosby.
Curtis Sliwa.
Rita Cosby.
Curtis
Cosby.
77 WABC.
Keeps on raining.
Seven minutes after the hour of 12, as we are high atop Madison Square Garden, these great facilities provided to you in order that everybody can hear our broadcast on the 50,000 powerful watts of sound, courtesy of NJDiet.com. We are secure. We are insulated from all of the rains, Rita Cosby, that Bill Evans was just describing, which would make it a third day in a row. The Trinity Trifecta Troika of thunderstorms, of lightning storms that have plagued our region. In fact, so much water has fallen that in just one day yesterday, there was 2 months of rain that fell in Brick Township. They're underwater. Other towns in Ocean County, Howe, Monmouth County, Brick, that's it, they're underwater. I'm surprised the only one I listed here is Bound Brook, you know, because whenever there's a little spritz in the sky, Bound Brook is immediately underwater.
I'm looking for a rowboat. That's how I'm going to get to work from here on out.
And the extreme weather conditions are continuing all day long. As we get the rain, more than we need, and the West Coast and parts of the heartland of America, which are parched, which are going through drought conditions, would love to have any kind of precipitation whatsoever to deal with the problems that they've had, which is obviously crops are not growing, parched land,
massive
fires.
Oh my God, the fires on the West Coast, Curtis, are just unbelievable. And here, the rain keeps on coming, and it's going to be coming back again soon.
Multiple road closures, and here with some of the folks in the Garden State, which has become as green as the Garden State has ever been as a result of all this
rain. True to its name, Curtis. True.
They were kvetching. They were kvetching about the problems.
The worst part about it is, I'm standing in my house looking through the window, watching the water come in and not being able to do anything about it.
This is something we've never seen before. I told him, I said, Sal, we got to get out of here.
The houses back there are really bad. It's nothing pretty. It just came out of nowhere. No one expected it.
This has never been a flood zone. None of these people have flood insurance. I've been in touch with their insurance company. It is not covered.
Did you hear that? With these flash floods coming out of nowhere, no flood insurance. These people are going to get wiped out.
Which is such a mess. And I can, you know, during Superstorm Sandy, how many people like in Staten Island and elsewhere did not have insurance because you just never expected to be like that. By the way, also a new update on the woman that we were talking about who was waiting yesterday in the no swimming area. Now we're getting details that indeed she was waist up in water in a spot where you were not supposed to be swimming. This is in the Jamaica Bay, the one who lost hold of her husband. There was apparently some Good Samaritan who tried to help, but we still haven't gotten details. There's still so many unanswered questions in this case, and she's still missing.
Again, why would you be in the Bayswater section in Jamaica Bay when you have the Atlantic Ocean just a few blocks away?
And it says no swimming, and she's wading waist deep. It's a little odd.
Yeah, they had left the apartment of her mother, she and her husband. Her husband apparently was nowhere to be found, yet a Good Samaritan reached out and tried to scoop her up before all of a sudden some kind of riptide pulled her out into Jamaica Bay. Now, I got to tell you, that's true of the Atlantic Ocean on the other side. But when it comes to Jamaica Bay, that's generally an area that is pretty placid, pretty calm, not at all as turbulent as the Atlantic Ocean, except when there are storm clouds and there are high winds. And that just That just not was the occasion when all of a sudden she got swept away. So my inclination is
there's
I'm still looking
else.
At the husband.
There's still something else to the story.
I'm still
think.
Looking at the husband as to why he didn't try to reach out, glom onto her, latch onto her,
or
pull
go out
her
and
shore.
Swim. That's the thing that's odd, too. Even if she did go out, there's something weird. We're missing something. I agree with you.
Our number is 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. And to those of you who are building Noah's Ark, because you heard Bill Evans talking about today, it's going to be the third day in a row that you get clobbered with heavy rains and flash floods. What do you do if you have absolutely no flood insurance? I mean, it is conceivable that you could get wiped out because you know the state is not going to come to your aid or your county or your borough or your township. That's it. You're going to be rubbing nickels together. Our number is 1-800-848-9222. And then if you also listen to Bill Evans, he talked about how it's going to be hot and humid in 90-degree weather both tomorrow, Wednesday, and then all day Thursday. And that's going to mean you got to deal with varmints. Because all of a sudden, you got all this water, this stationary water.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what happens? It breeds the mosquitoes. And then all of a sudden...
Boy, those are loud mosquitoes.
What are these? Wow. Are the helicopters those that were over Queens last night.
Oh, those are
night.
The choppers. I was going to say, that's an unusual mosquito sound.
That's right. And they were spraying. They were spritzing. Whether it was DDT, DEET, whether it was DECON.
We don't have any spray sound.
Right. Raid, whatever it was. They were spraying all night long.
There's the coughing from
right. People this morning were waking up and they were gagging. They were coughing because obviously Monsanto, that has poisoned thousands and thousands of people and been fined extraordinarily amounts of money. They should have been fined more. Is responsible for a lot of those chemicals, Dow chemicals that are being spritzed over your head. So in addition to all the flooding that's taking place, you also have the situation in which. You're going to have the ride of the Valkyries. I need a little bit of that music because I need to feel like Robert Duvall. I want to get into a helicopter.
Ooh, I like Robert Duvall. That's a good analogy.
Right. I want to get into the helicopter at Floyd Bennett Field. I want to fly high in the sky over the tri-state area. And all of a sudden, when I see these little skiers there who are responsible for Ebola, flesh-eating virus, malaria, Zika, and naturally the dreaded West Nile virus, I want to zoom in on them and just start spritzing them into the hereafter.
Curtis, you got to wake up from the daydream. You
got to
wake
smell.
Up from that. You sound like a guy going into Vietnam.
Yeah.
You're like, I'm ready. I'm armed and ready.
I love the smell of DEET.
Oh, my God.
A.K.A. DDT.
I saw Mission Impossible over the weekend. I told you. I feel like you are playing Ethan Hunt.
Yes.
It could be you going after the mosquitoes for the next Mission Impossible.
It could easily be me. Our number is 1-800-848-WABC. And if you've ever been spritzed from high atop the atmosphere, or you've had it from cannons that are fired rotating trucks to go through the neighborhoods. Give a description, because what I saw earlier today, people in northern Queens gagging, vomiting, like incapable of functioning, and you're wondering, gee, what kind of cancer-causing agents are in these spritzes and sprays that our governments are buying at great expense in order to relieve us of these nasty skeeters.
No, it's scary stuff. And there's some really, like, toxic stuff if you look at it. I mean, I've been in places, like, I remember when I went to Africa years ago, Curtis, we had to get sprayed and shots for everything.
Yes, yes.
And you know, you're putting in, like, these, you know, terrible antivirus in your system, and, you know, you almost go into cardiac arrest getting all the shots.
Yeah, and in fact, I can remember, Rita, I was interviewing Chris Matthews at the time at MSNBC.
Mm-hmm.
After he had been writing for the Philadelphia Inquirer. And he had been on the skids for about 6 months with malaria. And I felt that was kind of odd. You know, an American with malaria who hadn't spent a lot of time in third world countries.
Where did he get it?
Well, I asked him that question. And the guy went absolutely ballistic on me. Like, how dare you? You know, that's health records. You should have no access to that. I said, it was written in one of the stories.
You're just asking.
The reason that you were on the skids, you were on the shelf for 6 months, is you had a serious case of malaria. So I was just wondering where you may have acquired
it. And he never answered the question?
You know, was it Rwanda?
Yeah.
You know, where was it?
No, and did he say Queens?
The guy went nuts on me, and I think eventually introduced me to Mr. Click and hung up on me in the middle of the interview.
But you do have to worry about when you go over these. I mean, oh my God, these shots when I went to Africa, Curtis, they were like 3 feet long. You know, it's like the tetanus, the malaria, this, the, you know, and you take the pills. You know, you got to do all that
and,
stuff.
And remember, the mosquito nets.
Yep. Oh, yeah, when you sleep in the bed. Literally, you would sleep in the bed, and you have the mosquito nets that are over your bed. And I remember one night, I think I told you this, my mother, the mosquito had a hole in it. And I was like, oh, my God, I put a pillowcase over the hole to protect my mother and I, you know, and all night long, you know. But you know, these are deadly mosquitoes. They're all over the place. You know, you can almost barely see through the mosquitoes in the sky.
I'm telling you, one of the best ways of eliminating mosquitoes when I was a kid is I would steal the can of VO5 hairspray from my sister, my older sister, Alita, who used to love that mole head, you know, that bouffant look back
the
then that was very popular.
Right. Right.
In the 60s, and I used to take a little match,
and I used
to spray the VO5, and it would torch these mosquitoes right out of the sky.
Ooh, you were beating up little things until you got to the subway.
I was torturing mosquitoes at a young age, because I felt I was doing it for humanity. I was fighting the plague of malaria.
By the way, that is the sign of a serial killer, when you start killing animals, no matter how big or small.
Well, let's not get that carried away. It was little mosquitoes who were biting you, and as a result, people were getting malaria.
My mother would smack you. My mother would put the mosquito in a cup and take it out. Can you imagine? It was
Ebola.
Painful.
Ebola, flesh-eating virus, Zika. Oh, God. Well, our number is 1-800-848-WABC. Let's go to Joe calling from New Jersey. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here on WABC. Giuseppe.
Hi, Joe.
Hi, Curtis. Hi, Rita. Hey, I remember when we were young, in Jersey, we used to run behind the mosquito truck with the sprayed all the mosquito spray out there, kill the mosquitoes.
And you run behind it?
We would run behind it as kids.
Oh, my God. That sounds real healthy. How many arms do you have now? Five?
The only damage I ended up with, I ran right into a mailbox one time. I couldn't see.
But I tell you, you're not alone, Giuseppe. If you lived in the Panama Canal Zone, which was American, mm-hmm. like John McCain was born and raised yep. there, my father used to go through there as a merchant seaman all the time, going from one end, you know, the Atlantic Ocean mm-hmm. to the Pacific Ocean through the Isthmus of Panama. They would bomb that place with DDT every day. There would be a plume over the entire area, and people would be like inhaling that morning, noon, and night.
And there weren't even restrictions back then, too, because people were just like spraying, you know, willy-nilly. And, you know, and so now here we are, you know, years later, you're going, wait a minute, this is not safe.
And speaking of restrictions, the hellish 495 has been closed, one lane in each direction, and people are going out of their mind.
After Labor Day, when everybody comes back from vacation, the schools are all open, we expect massive traffic jams. So the best thing for people to do is start planning now. I can't describe on television what we're expecting.
Oh, and here's one woman basically summing it up for all the commuters who are just stuck in the asphalt.
My opinion? It ain't going to work.
Yeah, it ain't going to work.
That sums it up.
It's bad now. And the mayor of Weehawken was right. People were on vacation or they're working at altered shifts. You can imagine right after Labor Day what it's going to be like trying to come in and out of New York through the Lincoln Tunnel. And then, to make matters worse, earlier today during the rush hour, they had a fire on the George Washington Bridge on the lower deck, which obviously closed the whole bridge. It scorched the bridge. So how are you going to get into New York? Couldn't use the George Washington Bridge. You're crawling in the Lincoln Tunnel.
By the way, I want to give the mayor of Weehawken an award for being refreshingly honest. So usually politicians say, oh, no, we're going to fix it. It's going to get better. The mayor of Weehawken said it's going to get worse, especially after Labor Day.
I love
the honesty.
Remember the NFL season with Jets and Giants at MetLife Stadium.
Oh,
that's
going to
start in September. So the Mishigasha traffic there is going to be just unimaginable. Our number is 1-800-848-WABC. But speaking of commuters, there were two of them who cold-cocked a conductor on an A train in East New York on Grant Avenue in East New York. 5-0 is on the lookout for them. You can go to our Curtis and Cosby Facebook page and see the video. And this is like not just one attack. There has been a series of attacks on conductors who basically guide the trains. They're in the middle of the train. They open the doors. They close the doors. They're the eyes and ears for the engineer. And they're getting clocked, and they're getting punched out on a regular basis. Our number is 1-800-848-WABC. So here it is. It seems like there are a number of thugs and thuggettes out there who are targeting conductors who drive the subway trains for the city of New York, the MTA, money-taking agency. There was one in Brooklyn recently, another in Far Rockaway, in which people came up to the conductor and played the game knockout. They just, like, cold-cocked them and caused them all kinds of bodily damage. In fact, in that case in Brooklyn about a month ago, this is what the conductor had to say.
I open the doors, then I look out to make sure the passenger's getting on and off before I get ready to close, and that's when somebody knocked me in the head. I can't even tell you what he looks like. Not expecting this to happen, but and then now it keeps happening for the last 3 weeks. It's crazy. It's crazy. It's got to stop.
So no arrests in that case.
Right.
No arrests of the two young men who were smiling on the video cameras at the station in Far Rockaway when they cold-cocked the conductor. And now this viral video that we have posted on Curtis and Cosby, in which you see it's about 5 o'clock in the morning. It's on an A train southbound. The conductor has just announced to the passengers that he's going express. He's going to avoid the local stops. It's at the Grant Avenue station right in the heart of East New York.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see this guy approach the conductor from the platform. He leans inside of the conductor's booth. He starts wailing on him, and then a woman comes out of nowhere. She's wailing on him, so they're double-teaming the conductor. Nobody's helping the conductor.
No, and you know you feel bad because the conductor also was saying that, like, they came right up and started screaming at him. And then, like you said, they're both, like, pounding. And you know what's so scary, Curtis? I mean, I think it is so tough for these conductors. They're dealing with headaches. And the head of the union, one of the head of the unions there, was saying that he blames it on what we've been talking about, excessive heat. He blames it on unbelievable service delays, which we're all dealing with, and just increased frustration that people are so frustrated. They said in like a 6 week span, they have had 10 incidents
easily
of either conductors being assaulted, beaten. At least these are the ones reported, like you said. So I want to put out to our callers, like, how horrible is it that conductors now, one of the head of the union basically said, you know what, we're going to have to defend ourselves. What are they going to have to, like, start punching back?
No, they're going to have to put a stick in the conductor's booth like they used to have in the motorman's booth, or even like the bus drivers would have right behind their seat. As bad as it's gotten for conductors, bus drivers are getting assaulted on a regular basis.
Oh, it's so sad.
People
it's
just
so
walk
sad.
Onto the city buses. They refuse to pay the fare. The bus driver then has to say, hey, the bus cannot move until you pay your fare, sir or ma'am. And then they come up and they give the driver grief. They get into their face, and oftentimes they're swinging and winging.
You know, they even have a wanted poster, Curtis, in the subways. Yeah. They actually have a wanted poster of, like, the six most wanted offenders, including now this guy and this gal who were beating up this poor conductor yesterday or just recently over the weekend at 5 a.m. on Saturday at Grand Avenue. So you can imagine they actually have a wanted that it's so bad that they have enlisted the worst offenders beating up conductors because of frustration.
Arrest made. In fact, this is what the TWU Local 100 chief had to say.
If you assault a transit worker, it's a felony. And they're not writing them up as felonies. I talked to DA Gonzalez about 3 weeks ago, and he said he's going to start prosecuting as felonies. And we're going to ask for more police on the platforms, and we're going to ask for more cameras being installed permanently onto the platforms. We believe that that would be a deterrent.
So you see, it's already on the books as a felony if you assault an MTA worker. Yet when the cops eventually do make an arrest, they're not charging them with a felony,
because
that will go on the crime stats.
And
that'll
Curtis,
be part of CompStat.
That's amazing. Isn't that amazing? That you know, what does it take? You're beating up a conductor and they won't go after it and prosecute it?
Read it.
And they're calling for more cops. It's something you and I have been talking about on the show.
You're
Come
interfering
on.
With the mayor's narrative, remember?
Oh, that's right.
The
that's
mayor
right.
always likes to assure us that no matter where you go, whether it's the city schools, whether it's buses or trains or the streets, that you are in his city.
We are America's safest big city.
It's all a lie. Because these crimes, which are taking place, we can see them with our own eyes.
And escalating.
And they're being downgraded to misdemeanors, or there are no arrests being made. It's all one big lie. But right now, let's get our news headlines and updates from Jerry Barmash.
Curtis and Cosby.
Talking about the Red Angels of NY City.
On the air, on the app.
Curtis Cosby.
Where New York comes to talk. 77 WABC.
Here on 77 WABC, and you are listening to Curtis and Cosby. Well, many of us have seen these PBA cards, and they're not just PBAs, but they're different police unions across the country. And if you know somebody in the police department or somebody in authority, and there come some different variations of it, sometimes they give you a courtesy card and say, okay, well, you know, if you get pulled over or whatever, this just sort of shows you're a friend of the police union or a friend of the state troopers, whatever it be. And now an incident that took place recently involving a Queens man who was on the Clearview Expressway near the Long Island Expressway not too long ago is really taking light at this issue. And I want to hear from all of you. What do you think of these PBA cards? If you're a friend of the officers, should you get off scot-free? Should they do any favors for you? Well, in this case, this guy says he didn't get any favors, but instead he got a beat down. The guy's name is Michael Holden Curtis. He's 39 years old of Queens. He says he plans to sue now the city for over $2 million over an arrest that took place in May. And he was speeding on the Clearview Expressway. He was going 71 miles an hour in a 50-mile-an-hour zone. So apparently he was going pretty fast there. The officers pull him over, and he pulls out this card, and it's like a miniature card. And it wasn't even like the real card either. It was a copy of like these PBA cards or these police union cards. And it's a duplicate, a tiny little sort of small one that he put in his wallet, trying to say, hey, listen, officer, I know I was going fast, but could you cut me a break? And the officer then said to him, well, where's the signature? Because even if it's a real one, even if I did want to cut you a break, basically, I need to see the signature on. I need to see that it's really an authentic courtesy card kind of thing. The guy didn't have it. The guy just had the little miniature thing. And then apparently the officer got enraged. Two different variations of the story. The guy says, the one who was pulled over, said that he got out of the car, was compliant, and then suddenly was just pepper sprayed by the officer because the officer got enraged, thinking the guy's like pulling out a fake card. And the guy was started getting sweaty and started swearing at him and used the N-word and a whole bunch more. The guy did get pepper sprayed. So it does sound like there's a whole bunch of, like, things definitely got heated because the officer thought the guy was trying to pull a fast one on him. So it brings up the topic of, should these cards have any bearing? And I want to put it out to you because I know we got a lot of law enforcement folks and friends of law enforcement that listen to the show. Do you think because you're a friend of law enforcement that when you pull out these cards, and again, this guy had sort of a fugazi one, I'll use your language, Curtis, we're not sure if it's fugazi, but it was a copy of one. It didn't even have the official real signature, which sort of gives it the triple seal of approval. Should they get a special favor because they're friends of the NYPD? Should somebody be cut slack? Regardless, it doesn't sound at this point that the guy should have gotten pepper sprayed, but if he was swearing at the guy and resisting arrest. So it sounds like two different versions. A civilian review board did say that maybe he was resisting arrest, but that maybe he shouldn't have been doused with pepper spray, that there was probably another way to control the guy. But the officer just became enraged because he thought the guy was pulling a fast one.
Well, this is a problem that goes beyond the NYPD and the PBA. There are sheriff's department who issue these phony cards.
State troopers, all you know, different.
There are all kinds of police benevolent associations that issue these cards. I've seen cops give it out like candy, as if they were giving candy out. Like they were Santa Claus around Christmas time, giving out candy canes. And they give them out, and they expect, at least the receiver expects when they get stopped by the cops, as long as they didn't stab somebody or murder somebody, that if they pull that out of their wallet with their license and their registration when the cops request it, that somehow that's going to give them a break. Maybe it'll get them a warning. Maybe it'll get them a fine in which there are no points deducted, which is going to cost them on their insurance, their yearly insurance cost. But they're expecting a break, and cops will imply that, yeah, you get stopped, you show this card. And I've actually seen cops say, see, it's got my signature here. Here, look, if you, I'll sign it right here. This is too legit to quit. And I say, how is it the city, the state, and the counties can allow this kind of behavior to take place? So that means if you're a friend of a cop or a sheriff or someone else involved in law enforcement, you get cut slack, but somebody else has to pay the full freight?
Yeah, and I want to hear it.
That is so unfair.
Well, that's what I want to hear from everybody out there. Do you think that there should be any breaks? And what have you heard in terms of excuses that have worked when people have been pulled over? I'm going to make an admission. I do have a lead foot, and I'm lucky that I got a good smile. And I do think sometimes, and I'm curious with our callers too, do women get more breaks than than guys?
Well,
I think we do. I actually do.
You show a little shot of leg,
well,
and all of a sudden the male officer gets all excited.
I don't do that, but I do a nice little smile. I will tell you, the other day I was in a New York cab. The cabbie actually made kind of a wrong turn. The cop, the guy was rushing because I was telling him, I'm going to rush. You know me. I'm going to rush. So the cabbie actually made the turn for me. The cop pulled him over, and I said to the cop, it's my fault, officer. I asked him to, and the cop did let him go. As it turned out, well, somebody else did, because it wasn't well marked.
What was
it? Wasn't
date?
Just that.
What was the date, Rita?
I'm not going to reveal it.
No, just saying it wasn't the end of the month.
It wasn't.
The end of the month is the quota. Got to make the quota. So no matter how many smiles, how many pearly whites you showed, whether you showed
a shot
nice
of pearly
leg,
whites too.
I am telling you, Rita, it wouldn't have mattered. The cop has got to make their quota. Anyway, let's go to the phones. First up in the queue is Vinny, who's calling from Matza Pizza, a.k.a. Massapequa. Well, welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here at WABC. Vincenz.
Hi, guys. Let me get through this, because I'm a son of a retired detective, Nassau County. I'm older to five kids, and he had, when he retired, he got a brass card with his name stamped on it with no date on it. Okay? And that card has got, and he says, I only get one of these when I retire, and he hands it to me. It's Aaron's son, and says, because you're going to need it. So,
now, have you used it, Vin? Have you ever used it?
Absolutely. I mean, you can't run over a family of five, and with DWI, I expect to get away with it. But I have got extended many courtesies.
Oh, so you mean it won't help you? Wait, you're saying, Vinny, you're in a drunken driving situation and you've just taken out five people. It won't help you.
But if you take out... Wait, Vinny. If you take out four, will it help you?
No. You can't use it that way.
Vinny, if it was up to me, if I was the cop and you would have flashed that courtesy shield or card to me, I would hit you with two tickets.
Well, that's the thing. You know, there are people who, and it sounds like in this particular case, the guy was like, wait a minute, this doesn't even look like a real card, for one. And there are people who get offended, and understandably so. There's some troopers who are like, listen, I legitimately pulled you over. I don't care who you know. You got to drive safely.
Let's go to Billy, who's calling from New York. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here on WABC. Billy.
Hi, Bill.
Hi, Rita. Hi, Curtis. Yeah, I don't think that you should get a break, because say some guy gets pulled over drunk and he flashes a card or he's speeding. I mean, how many people got away with stuff and then you find out years later they kill someone in a speeding accident, a drunk driving accident, because unacceptable behavior got, you know, to be continued.
No, I agree. I agree. They shouldn't get a free pass. You know, I agree. It shouldn't be like, hey, you can do whatever you want.
How many times you look at somebody's windshield, they got the registration in the windshield, and next to it they got hermetically sealed in a PBA card?
Yeah, or police, Benevolent Union, right?
Come on. Let's go to Josh in Staten Island. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here on WABC. Josh.
Hi, Josh.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. All I want to say is I actually think that besides stabbing someone, drunk driving, burglary, you know, things like that, I think cops, police officers should be public servants. They shouldn't try to scare us to death and, like, want to put us in jail for, like, rolling through a stop sign. So I'm all for police officers being able to say, listen, I'm a public servant. You know, what you were doing was a little bit dangerous. I'm going to give you a warning. I'm going to let you off today because you're being respectful. I'm all for that, right? But I'm not for some special club where you get a card and you get that.
Well, it's like being in BJ. Right, it's like having a BJ wholesale outlet or a Costco card. You show that, and all of a sudden, it's like
Like, it's fine. It's fine. Give us a break sometimes. Life is hard, but not because I have a special card.
No, I agree.
I'm courteous, and it makes sense.
I agree. And Josh, by the way, I do, and I will say for the most part, I think, and maybe again because I'm a woman too, but I do feel cops, for the most part, it just kind of depends if you get a nice cop, you get an angry cop, what time of the month, like you said, Curtis, if it's the end of the month where they have a quota or not. But I do wish cops would give people who are considerate a break.
No, there should be no cards whatsoever.
I'm not saying cards. I'm saying in general, just for overall pulling over.
No courtesy shields, no cards given out, nothing. Let's go to Steve in New Jersey. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here at WABC. Steve.
Hi, Steve.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. I'm a member of 5 different police organizations in New Jersey. I have a bunch of cards. And to be honest with you, Curtis, they have helped me out in certain situations where maybe I went a little too fast or whatever. But, you know, most people in whatever business line that they work in, they get little niceties and things from other businesses and people. So it's like, you know, everybody gets something.
Let me ask you, Steve, are you, when you say you're a member, are you in law enforcement? Are you a friend of law enforcement? Like, what qualified you to be in that union or to get the card?
Let's say I'm a friend of law enforcement.
Friend, that means you made a contribution to the Police Benevolent Associations in your area.
Which is a good cause.
Boy, that's a quid pro quo.
I'm saying helping the union's a good cause.
Yeah, that's a quid pro quo. Come on, Steve, fess up. You did make a contribution, didn't you?
No. The company I work for has.
Oh, the company
you
work for has.
Go.
And they
there
expected the cards in return so that when all of a sudden you get clipped for speeding, you get no ticket. That's a quid pro quo. That's what politicians do who get wine-dined and pocket-lined.
Well, although you could get a cop who gets angry at it. Like this cop seemed to think, uh-oh, wait a minute, let's go to Tom from Bronx. Tom, you're here with Curtis and Rita. Go ahead, Tom.
Hi, guys. I just wanted to say, about 25 years ago, I was driving drunk on the FDR Drive, and I hit an unoccupied ambulance. So the ambulance driver got out, and I tried to get away. Jumped in the car, he threw it in park, and he held me at bay. The cops come with another ambulance. I'm covered in blood, right? They pull me out of my car. They put me in this other ambulance, and about maybe a half hour goes by. Oh, I gave them my courtesy badge. A half hour goes by. They open the doors to this ambulance. The cop gives me my wallet back with the courtesy badge. He goes, get out of here.
Oh, hey, can I say one thing, Tom? That's not
what?
Good. Come on. I appreciate your honesty, but that ain't good.
I know it's not good. I know. But that's exactly what happened.
Wow.
And quite frankly, Tom, you're not the first, nor will you be the last to all of a sudden get told, bye-bye, get out of here.
Don't worry if you hit an ambulance. Whoa.
Not on my.
Ooh, that's not a good
they
one.
They should end that process. No more PBA cards, no more courtesy shields.
But give attractive blondes a cut. That's all I want to say.
Except at the end of the month when you got to make your quota. 1-800-848-WABC. Unbelievable. The NYPD will still not make an arrest in the Schlong case of the guy who worked at the building as a doorman.
This is the guy who was exposing himself and sending it to tenants.
6 women complainants. They're willing to testify. They've pressed charges. And the NYPD said, oh, it's not a crime. Oh, no.
Let me take a selfie.
Seven minutes after the hour of one. As we are high atop Madison Square Garden, shielded from the flash floods that Bill Evans has talked about, that for a third day in a row will clobber parts of New Jersey and Pennsylvania. Courtesy of NJDiet.com, we are safe and secure. But I don't know if women in the city are. And we have talked about this issue time and time again, how the NYPD is not making arrests any longer because they just don't want to interfere with the narrative of Comrade Bill de Blasio, the part-time mayor, the dope from Park Slope, who likes to make statements like this on a regular basis.
We are America's safest big city.
And recently he embellished on that by going even further.
We're on a pace right now to do what we did last year, to have the safest year in New York City history for the people of the city since the Cold War.
Since the Cold War.
Since the missile crisis.
Well, if you don't arrest anybody,
wild?
Of course.
Isn't but that a wild statement?
In the previous hour, we talked about the head of the TWU Local 100 Union saying they're not arresting people who hit our conductors. And when they do arrest them, they're not hitting them with a felony, as the law requires. They're hitting them with a misdemeanor, which doesn't go on the Comstat stats.
Which is amazing, Curtis. And we're talking about beating of train conductors. I mean, it's like unbelievable, but especially the latest footage.
This one defies one's imagination of how stubborn one police plaza can be on behalf of the mayor. You have a doorman at Tudor City. That's right across mm-hmm. from the United Nations. Gorgeous look of the East River.
Yep, beautiful place.
And because there are women living in the building along with others, it is the job of the doorman to have everyone's number, particularly if they're not at their apartment, in case there's an emergency or something, that they can be contacted. And everybody has a cell phone nowadays. So the doorman had everybody's cell phone number, as the other doormen have who are on different ships. Except this doorman would go down into the locker room in Tudor City, either before or after his shift. And while he was sexually manipulating his organ to get it to the point of...
I was waiting for you to get to that description.
Of length and girth that satisfied him.
Right.
He would take a selfie picture. Except when taking that part of his anatomy, he would also take an upshot in which you can see a noticeable tattoo on his shoulder. Very noticeable, unique to him.
Right. And then he would send that picture to female tenants in the building. Talk about an intrusion, Curtis.
So he sends it to six women in the building in an unwanted way. None of these women say we wanted it. In fact, they go to the head superintendent. They report it to the head superintendent first. The superintendent says, if you don't mind, let me see it. I've seen some of the schlongs of the guys who work here.
Oh. By the way, that I'm curious. For the record, I have never seen a schlong picture. I don't want to ever. And my friends think it's disgusting. Well, listen, guys, any of you who think it's sexy, it ain't sexy.
Well, this is the super now, the guy in charge of all the doormen, and he goes, oh, I know that guy. That's Jonathan Aviles. Not because of the girth or the size of his schlong, but rather because he's the one with that tattoo. So now you have the ID by his boss. Now, the owners and operators of Tudor City immediately, they get this information, they hold a diplock court, they fire the guy on the spot, because they have all the evidence. They have the six complainants, they have the slung shots, it's clearly him, there's no way he can deny it. They fire him. So one of the six women says, I want this guy prosecuted. She goes to the local precinct, and they actually tell her, hey, there's nothing we can do. There's no probable cause to arrest him. She argues with the cops. She said, what are you talking about? I didn't want these pictures. Neither did the other female tenants. We didn't ask for this. He purposefully sent it to us because he had our cell numbers. He's harassing us.
It's such an invasion of privacy. You know what's staggering to me, Curtis, in this case? They apparently also, the detectives said, basically, did you have a relationship with him?
Yeah.
Did you ask for this? Did you do something? Talk about in this Me Too era, in this time of all times, that you would actually say, no, they're like, no, you got six different women in the building. He clearly had their cell numbers because, as you said, they had access and all that stuff. And the cops are saying, did you ask for this? This is like 1900s questions.
Yeah. So they send a female and male DT team over, undercover detectives. And both of them are so over the top. The male did what you just pointed out, which basically accused some of the women of having sex with the doorman. And the female woman, the female detective was even worse. She implied that the complainant had it coming by asking whether she had ever seen a doorman's penis in real life.
Can you imagine? For the record, I look at my doorman from the neck up. You know? Come on.
Here are these six women that are sitting in the lobby.
Yes.
Right? They're saying, we didn't do anything wrong. We just complained to the NYPD. We went to the precinct. We want the guy charged with harassment.
And the cops claimed, Curtis,
nothing
at first, they said there was some archaic loophole.
Right, right.
No, we put it out to you guys, the callers, and we have a lot of law enforcement folks who listen to the show. They said there's absolutely grounds for harassment.
Don't have any probable cause to arrest them.
Come on.
Ladies and gentlemen, is this not the disgrazia of all disgrazia, a real Shonda? In order to keep the crime stats down, they would withstand this kind of embarrassment because everyone, when they hear about this case, and God bless the New York Post, because they've stayed on this case.
And now they say they're looking. The police department is going to review it only because there has been such unbelievable outcry, and he's still not charged.
What are they going to review?
They still haven't even charged him.
Our number is 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Now it gets better.
Right.
Tudor City, Midtown, Manhattan, East Side. Let's go up to the Heights, Washington Heights. It's a crazy guy, a neighbor. He attacks his female neighbor. He throws a brick at her.
Right.
She then confronts him with her brother. He pulls a knife out and tries to stick a shiv into her.
Mm-hmm.
They call 911. The 3-4 precinct
right.
comes by. They say, nothing we can do but take him for a psych evaluation to Bellevue. We're not arresting him. She and the brother say, what are you talking about? He tried to kill me.
Right.
And so she comes home from work that night. He got his psych review at Bellevue in less than 24 hours. And there he is, the killer neighbor, ready to throw a brick at her again and stick her with a shiv.
And yesterday we had on our show the guy who was protesting the facility where there's going to be 113 mentally ill guys in the neighborhood. You wonder why people are protesting. Come on.
Now,
we are giving a free pass to criminals.
Come on, cops.
Where is Bill Bratton?
I know.
Bill Bratton, who was the police commissioner, never would have allowed this.
I know there are a lot of cops who listen to us who are on duty, whether you're a swing shift, graveyard shift, or you're on shift right now listening, cheating while you're listening to your 911 calls. You can't be doing this just to keep the crime stats down. This is embarrassing for you. 1-800-848-WABC. Let's go to Larry, who's calling from Brooklyn. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here.
Hi, Larry.
I want to say that your point in general is well taken about the lack of enforcement, but in this case, I have to say the cops know the law. Probable cause, you would have to link the guy's cell phone. You would have to know that it came from his cell phone. If he's using an anonymous cell phone, you can't even search the guy.
I think it's his phone, Larry. I don't think it's a dispute that it came from his phone.
Well, if there's no dispute that it came from his phone and the phone is in his name, then there certainly is probable cause.
Why couldn't you just get a warrant? This way you could seize the phone. You could compare all the data.
Because you know why? Because a warrant, you need probable cause for a warrant.
Well, what? You got six female complainants. You got his boss who says that's him.
And if you see the guy, you guys, he's got tattoos all over. Like,
yeah.
Apparently,
well,
they're quite recognizable. And apparently, it doesn't seem to be in a dispute, Larry, that he sent them.
Wait, you know, Larry, do we have to have a lineup? You know, like sometimes they do a schlong lineup where you get six guys to whip out their schlongs and then maybe they make a probable cause arrest because, all six women identified
the
right schlong.
I will never look at my doorman the same again, for the record, everybody.
Unbelievable.
Oh, my goodness.
1-800-848-WABC. Let's go to Danny out in Long Island. Welcome to Curtis. I have Rita Cosby here. Dan?
Hi, Dan.
Good afternoon, everybody. The point is well taken, Curtis. I mean, the police department used to have a squad of people to go over each report to knock it down as best they could to reclassify it from a robbery down to a larceny, all kinds of nonsense. In this case, I believe you probably had a person sitting at the desk who was just completely clueless, because this crime in itself, and it is a crime, is not indicative of crime in the city, because this didn't take place in the street. That's like a person could be a victim of child molestation by their uncle. It counts as a rape, but it's not indicative to the street crime that's going on out there.
But Danny, why not go after it? It doesn't make you like you're making excuses.
I said nothing of the sort. You listen closely. I said he should have been arrested. It's a crime. It should have been classified as a crime. I believe the person was clueless, really didn't know the law or the proper procedures. But
all right, but Dan, what was that? Hold on, Dan. Now, I'll accept that at the precinct level, maybe they made a mistake. But it went all the way up to One Police Plaza to the police commissioner himself, O'Neill, the lapdog for de Blasio, and he said not an arrestable offense.
No, I thought he got the newspaper and said absolutely an offense.
No.
Well, there seems to be some discrepancy as to
what I tell you what, Dan, can you imagine now every perv in and outside of New York City now know they have a license to send unwanted schlong photos
to whoever.
To whomever, and there are no ramifications other than if that person were to try to sue them, which, as you know, that could be a 10-year ordeal.
And what an invasion of privacy, too, because this is where you live. First of all, I mean, it's not like some random. This is a guy who, where you live, has this information, and it sets a horrible standard. And you can tell these women are outraged. They want justice.
Yeah. Our number is 1-800-848-WABC. Let's go to Susan in Brooklyn. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here on WABC. Susan.
Hi, Susan.
Oh, God. I'm so glad to talk to both of you about this because it was just recently they announced the rapes are up in sex assaults against women 30% over the last year.
Yep, the latest stats. You're right.
Yeah. So, Rita and Curtis, how do we defend ourselves? I looked in the pepper spray. They said, oh, no, don't do that because if you hurt him or her or whoever, I mean, let's not be sexist about it. I don't know. But this is really, there's only 4 sex crime investigators, supposedly. So it is open season. And I mean, my family is like, get the hell out of there.
And Susan, I got to tell you, too, when somebody, I'm going to ask you a question, Susan. I've said it on the show. I have never received one of these pictures. Have you ever received a picture like this of somebody's, you know, generically somebody's private part?
I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in my physical well-being and being somehow physically attacked. And I want to defend myself, and apparently the police aren't going to do it.
No.
I'm with you. But what I'm saying, Susan, is that I think somebody who does this and sends it generically has a proclivity. If he's sending it to other people, I agree with you, Susan, because I think there's something twisted about someone who does that in a building and sends it to other people in the building. And I agree with you. This guy, you have to take it seriously because there could be something worse like you're talking about, Susan.
Absolutely. What do you do, Rita?
Wait, hold on.
I have Curtis. I have a big picture of Curtis next to my room.
You're interfering with Comrade de Blasio's
we
narrative.
We are America's safest big city.
Why are you starting trouble, Susan? Don't you want to keep crime stats down? Don't you want everyone to believe the bogus statement that we are the safest that we've ever been, especially women? You should be grateful to Comrade de Blasio, Susan.
We are America's safest big city.
What you got to do, Susan, is it's one-on-one. You're on your own. My Aunt Louise used to have a great straight-edge razor, you know,
oh,
that they would use at the... they would use at the barbershop to give you
Susan,
a close
don't
shave.
Do it. Don't do it, Susan.
And she would tell guys, when I said back up, you better back up.
I'm putting a picture of the guardian angels.
She was rough stuff. And she would take out that straight-edge razor, and if all of a sudden you were flashing your schlong, she would dissect it and bisect it like a frog in biology class.
Oh, my. Everybody, don't take this advice at home.
That's the Aunt Louise cure. If you misuse it, you should lose it.
Oh,
castration should be your cure. Keep your rocket in your pocket.
I agree with that.
1-800-848-WABC. Let's go right to Paul in Queens. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here on WABC. Paulie.
Hi, Paul.
Hey, Curtis and Rita, you two may not be aware that approximately 8,000 members of the NYPD do not arrest people or even respond to 911 calls. There are many units within the police department manned by full-fledged police officers that are non-enforcement units. Start asking around, do some investigation.
So what are they doing? Tell us, what are they doing? And it still doesn't explain why you don't bust this pervy doorman.
Well, that's up to headquarters, but there are members assigned to building maintenance, fleet maintenance, crime analysis, roll call that do not go out on the street at all.
Mm. So your estimate is about out of what, 36,500 cops, 8,000 of them are not going to make an arrest unless somebody got shot right in front of them.
No, they don't go out on the road at all. They're not assigned to patrol duty.
Right, they stay inside and they're doing. But to me, Paul, listen, you need some cops for investigations and stuff. But in this case, cops went out. it's sort of different. You're talking about two different animals because cops did go out. They did talk and they decided, well, so far we don't see any evidence in this case. These were guys who had the authority. They just chose not to do it, Paul.
Yeah, I agree. I'm disappointed in that. And they're definitely under pressure to keep the crime numbers down. I've seen it personally during my career. But I'm going to leave it at that. And I'll call back with more information in the future.
Paul, we love your call.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, we love that.
I did not realize that many cops who are not in positions where they're going to make arrests.
Well, it explains that there's a lot behind the scene.
Some are out on vacation. Some are out on sick leave. So you start deducting. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, you're only down to like about 24,000 actual men and women in the department.
I mean, that's a big amount. That's a big percentage.
And then there's the brass. Oh, you forget the brass because they don't do bots. They do bupkis out there.
But they look
good
in the suits.
You're down to 20,000. Right, in the white shirts. They walk around with those starch white shirts on. But can you imagine in the face of this kind? And you know, if not for the New York Post, nobody would know about this.
Oh, yeah. And they still, even after all the outcry, still have. It's unbelievable. Let's real quick go to Greg from Warwick. Greg, you're here with Rita and Curtis. Go ahead, Greg.
Hey, Curtis and Rita, you have the best radio show in all of New York.
Thank you.
Love you guys.
Thank you.
Every day I'm listening. Here's my question. Curtis, you know about all this stuff that the cops are pulling. Why don't you do a two-hour radio show each week and pick, I don't know, 10 cases, like the guy who showed himself to the girl, and then have the representative from NYPD sit down with you guys and ask them each week, what happened now? How come this didn't happen?
Well, what happened in this case? We believe it. We'd like to.
There are there's so many cases now that actually, this is an excellent idea that Greg has. So
it can be called passed over. Were they passed over?
Right. Who's hiding? Something like that.
Yeah. Right, but gold bricks here. We got real slackers in our two hipsters and millennials who work here, our phone screen at Christian and actually Brian Mongalucci. Start accumulating these cases, keeping stacks of them, and let's do exactly what Greg suggests.
I wish we could do a, like, why was this passed over? Let's hear both sides of the story, because so far I don't see the reason it was.
When the official from One Police Plaza, one of the big bosses, answered, I want him strapped up to a lie detector test because he'll blow up so much, he'll blast us all to smithereens.
By the way, it'll be like, okay, let's go through these 30,000 cases. It won't be a five-minute segment.
If you imagine, you're a perv somewhere in the middle of a cornfield in Indiana, and you're saying, I can send perv photos to women in New York City, and you can't touch me.
Well, it's worse than that. What's worse is that it's in the building. It's somebody living in the building. I mean, talk about an intrusion and an invasion. Thank God they're reopening it, and everybody, we are going to stay on it.
But anyway, right now, let's get our news headlines and updates from Jerry Barmash.
Bicycle, bicycle, bicycle.
I want to ride my
bicycle.
I want to ride my bike. I want to ride my bicycle. I want to ride it where I like.
It is 1:40 here on 77 WABC. You are listening to Curtis and Cosby. And I'll tell you, the bikes seem like they're everywhere. It is so congested now in New York City, and we got the bike lanes. And first of all, I have mixed feelings. I grew up in a biking family. My dad was a triathlete, so he would, you know, cycle quite a bit. And we spent a lot of our, you know, sometimes our weekends, we'd go cycling together. So I appreciate bicycling. And I think it's nice in a city that we can also, on top of the concrete, do a little bit of bicycling. But we got to figure this out, because what also really shined a light on this was recently a teacher, she's a swim teacher from Australia, was in New York City. This was just last Friday. And here she is. She's cycling around Central Park West in the bike lane. It's 4:45 in the afternoon, you know, rush hour time. A livery car pulls out into the bike lane. She swerves. She hits her head, dies, fatally struck. When a sanitation truck comes out, I mean, it's like, you know, it's like a formula for disaster. And it's brought so much attention to bike lanes and how we can sort of juggle it all. And we figured we would go to one of our cycling experts here in the city, who's also a hot dog expert too, because he's always involved in the big hot dog eating contest around July 4th as well. and one of our good friends of the show, the editor of Streets Blog New York, Gersh Kuntzman. Gersh, great to have you here with me and Curtis. How are you, Gersh?
Rita, it's always great to be on the show. I appreciate the time to defend cyclists.
Well, and I love that you're the hot dog expert and the cycling expert, which is an interesting combination, my friend. First of all, this case, it's so sad. Here's this woman. She comes all the way, Gersh, from Australia. You know, we have so many tourists in the city. And this was like a formula for disaster. It's 4:45 on a Friday at Central Park West. She's heading, it's around like 66th Street. That area is just jam-packed. You got, you know, ride-sharing cars, you got cabs, you got the sanitation truck. What do we do? I mean, it is getting a little out of control, Gersh.
Well, you started the segment by initially blaming attention on cyclists, so I certainly want to stop you right there. It's not a formula for disaster. If people who use the road, in this case, the driver of the livery cab and the driver of the sanitation truck, would not be road hogs. In other words, the cab violated her right-of-way by going into the bike lane, first to drop off a passenger and then to leave the area. So that's two right-of-way
violations.
Hold on,
Gersh. We're going to have to get you a schmuck.
Christian, yeah, the phone's
get him
not
on the
good, Gersh.
Line here.
Yeah.
What do we want to hear? Gersh Gobble here? Get him back on the line here. My God, how long are we going to deal with this ordeal?
I know.
Sounds like he's underwater. Christian's sitting there like, It's like, have some mercy on our listeners out there.
Yeah.
This is AM radio, you know?
Come on, you guys. We got to hear Gersh. And Gersh is trying to make some points defending cyclists in the middle of it all. But it is
well,
a mess,
anyway,
Curtis.
I hate these bike lanes.
I know you do.
I can't tell you how many times I look up and down a bike lane and I wonder, where are the bicyclists? Where are they? I look up and down Columbus Avenue, look up and down Queens Boulevard, and at times you could sit there for 5-10 minutes. You don't see any bicyclists, and you said, why did we take all this usable asphalt and then end up creating a bike lane that almost nobody ever uses?
Or I'll even say the flip side with all these delivery guys that are out there, so many of them on bikes. You know, you've got the rental bikes like this Australian tourist who was on, who sadly, terrible case where she died. Hitting by a sanitation truck and delivery.
We got Gersh Kuntzman here.
Oh, is he back on a good line?
Gersh, I was just saying while you were getting reconnected that I hate these bike paths because so often you look up and down, whether it's Columbus Avenue or Queens Boulevard or other parts, you could stand there for 10 minutes. You don't see any bicyclists of any type whatsoever. What do you need all that space for? Why?
Well, first of all, Chris, if you're going to demagogue the issue, we won't have much to discuss. The City Department of Transportation has proven statistics that show that bike lanes make the roadway safer for all users, pedestrians, cyclists, and, of course, drivers. There are fewer accidents when there are protected bike lanes. Central Park West is a perfect example of why we need a protected bike lane, not just because of the accident that happened on the crash that happened on Friday, but because of why that crash happened. You have a motorist in a cab pulling into a bike lane, violating her right-of-way once, pulling out into the bike lane, violating her right-of-way a second time, and then a sanitation truck driver refusing to use that big pad in the middle called the brake to avoid hitting her. That's a motorist compounding another motorist mistake. A protected bike lane would save lives.
Let me, Gersh, I want to tell you something interesting that happened. I was in a cab couple weeks ago, and I remember I opened the door. I'm pulling, you know, pulling in, opened the door. There was a bike lane. At first, I didn't really notice it. You know, you're running around. I almost hit one of those livery guys with my door when the door opened. I just missed him. So here I'm doing everything right. I'm in a cab, opening the car door on the left side. The bike lane is right there. Like, yeah. I wish by out of nowhere. The driver and I were like, oh my God, thank gosh we didn't hit him with the car door. But the guy could have been killed. So even if it's designated and organized, it's chaotic, Gersh.
Well, you certainly did the right thing. The driver is the one who did the wrong thing. He pulled into an area where a cyclist would have had to go around him, i.e. outside of the bike lane, to be safe. And that's the problem. Protected bike lanes prevent that situation because the bike lane is hidden behind a row of parked cars, making it safer for all users.
All right, but you, Gersh Kuntzman, you're a real Pee Wee Herman. You're out there on your Schwinn Big Chief bicycle on a regular basis. What is it like to be a bicyclist out there when you're surrounded by vans and trucks and cars and motorcycles and also pedestrians who don't like the fact that you're blocking their path of exit?
Yeah, I mean, it is chaotic in the sense that Rita talked about, but that chaos is mitigatable with proper bike and pedestrian infrastructure. Remember, Curtis, this notion that the roads belong to cars is a fallacy. The fact is the roads are public space, and public space is reserved for drivers, for cyclists, for bus drivers. Let's not forget about mass transit. That's public space. I say take a lane of traffic away from on-street car storage, i.e. parking, and suddenly you'd have a lot more space for every user, and we would eliminate this private car storage in public space. The roadways are public space.
They're public space, but we're already dealing with so much congestion. And Gersh, you heard, I have mixed feelings, Gersh, because I like cycling, you know?
Sorry to cut you off. It's a fallacy. You're operating from a fallacy. Roadways are public space. No one user has more right to it. Now, buses move a hell of a lot more people than a single-occupancy vehicle or even a dual-occupancy cab. So let's reserve more space for buses. But we don't hear that discussion because drivers dominate the discussion in our car culture. They would rather have on-street car storage for cars that aren't even moving than to have the roadways available for cyclists, pedestrians, and drivers.
Now, by the way, I was reading a story, and everybody, we're talking to Gersh Kunstman. He's the editor of Streets Blog New York, an avid cycling defender. And Gersh, you probably heard, my dad was a triathlete, so I used to spend a lot of weekends, we'd go cycling together. So I appreciate it. I think it's nice to have a little bit of peace and tranquility, if you can, in New York. I was reading a story recently where they were saying, and it came from a pro cyclist view, like yourself, and I'm sort of again in the middle on this one. But NYPD often suggests it's the cyclist's fault. Do you feel that way, that when there's these cases of, not necessarily in this case of this woman from Australia, the tourist, but in general, is it usually the cyclist sort of doesn't, you know, takes the hit, if you will?
We cover a lot of these cases, Rita, and the NYPD reflexively blames the cyclist for two reasons. One is the cyclist is usually dead, and the only person they talk to is the driver, and the driver is always going to defend his actions against, obviously, some sort of lawsuit, criminal activity. Number two is they're very quick to put out a storyline, well, the cyclist didn't have a helmet, or this or that. We've covered any number of these cases always boil down to one word against the other, and the drivers who are predominantly, the cops are predominantly drivers who come from the suburbs every day, they typically side with the driver.
So in this case, Gersh, in your mind, oofa to the drivers, the bicyclists need to be a protected species in New York City.
Well, you're exaggerating, obviously, my point, Curtis, which is what you usually do. My point is simply that protected bike lanes are safer for all users. Drivers will hit people less often. That's what the statistics show on streets where these have been done. And this is not rocket science. The city's been doing this all over the place. Now, Rita can say it's causing congestion. As a matter of fact, it isn't. If you have a roadway with a protected bike lane and suddenly a driver double parks, well, there's your congestion. That has nothing to do with me as a cyclist. That's a selfish
I'll tell you what, Gersh. Why don't you go get yourself a dirty water hot dog here? We're going to open up our phone lines here because I hate these bicycle lanes.
We like Gersh.
Yeah, no, you like Gersh. I
like Gersh.
Our number is 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. As we talk bicycle lanes, it's Dave calling from Newark. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here at WABC. Dave.
Hi, Dave.
Hey, how you guys doing? Great show. Just love to let you know, I've been seeing this going on in Newark for the last 3 years. Ferry Street, Irving Turner Boulevard, Mount Prospect Avenue. Nobody's using them except kids making deliveries in those lanes, if you know what I mean.
Yeah,
but into it a little deeper. They only get these bicycle lanes if they could use federal money. And if when they use the federal money, they're getting free streets. But they got to put in the bicycle lane.
Ah, so it's a little bit of federal money coming in.
Other problem though, then Dave is one of these hipsters and millennials. You know, put on their bicycle helmet, they're on their 10-speed racer, and then all of a sudden they're a victim of the drive-by shooting. Oh yeah, Weequay Park. Yeah,
oh my God,
right past there.
Or watch out for me in a cab opening the cab door.
Anyway, let's go to Leon in Long Branch, New Jersey. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here at WABC. Leon.
Hi, Leon.
Hey, guys, how we doing? Here's the deal with bicyclists. They get a piece of the road when, number one, they pay for a registration for their bike. Number two, they take a test to get a license for their bike. They start to follow the rules like they're supposed to do. Down here where we are, we got people riding for exercise, but they got to ride two by two so they can chit-chat with each other. If you want to chit-chat, go get a cup of coffee.
Hey, by the way, Leon, I saw that the other day. I saw, like, a couple riding. I'm thinking, Whoa! I mean, I actually saw, like, it looked like a third one was coming up. Because they just want to... It's Rita, like, wait a minute, in New York, you got to be kidding me. In Long Branch, too, forget it.
Rita, I'm talking about 6, 7, 8, 10.
Oh, my God, forget it.
They're like a mob. They're like a mob, and they ride the wrong way on the road. They don't follow the traffic. So, consequently, when you pull out of someplace, you're not looking to your right.
Well, that's what happened to me. I told you I almost toppled one, a poor delivery guy who was just, you know, working. He was just strolling along, and he was almost asphalt because I opened a cab door, and I'm in the right, you know, we were both, everybody in the right place. We can't just all fit in the city.
No, that's why I just hate those bicycle lanes. I don't care where they are, Long Branch, Jersey Shore, Newark, New York City, or out there and leave it to Beaverland, Father Knows Best, Little House in the Prairie. I hate them.
Blinded by the light, wrapped up like a douche, another runner in the night.
It is 2:07 here on 77 WABC. You're listening to Curtis and Cosby. By the way, tomorrow on 12:30, we are going to be talking about the poppy seed defense, these sort of wild defenses that people use if they get a drug test and it comes out positive. Does it work? Is there such a thing as the poppy seed defense?
Oh, yeah. It's not just an urban myth. For a correctional officer in New York, he got fired anyway for a mother who was declared to be addicted to opioids upon birth. She was exonerated. You could say, hey, she just had this desire to eat poppy seed bread.
So does it work for some and not for others? And is there any truth to the rumor? We've always heard all about it, but we're going to get into that tomorrow. You definitely do not want to miss that here.
That's right,
on Curtis
1230, 1230. Guys, I mean, nobody else is going to be talking about that in all of talk radio.
But we definitely will, and it's something that all of us can certainly relate to, Curtis. And you always hear these myths, so I'm looking forward to talking more about that tomorrow. Also, all of us are on our iPhones. Listen, during the break, I was sitting there on my iPhone. You were on your iPhone, Curtis. All of us listening use these devices all the time. And now there is a new study out that says we may be blinded by the light, just like the song says. A study by the University of Toledo in Ohio has found that exposure to blue light, and that is the glow that comes off of smartphones, it's also off tablets, laptops, whatever device you are using, actually creates a growth of poisonous molecules. And what it does is cause macular degeneration. And that reduces your eye's ability. And macular degeneration, by the way, leads to, it's like, they said it's about 200,000 cases a year of eye problem, including blindness and other things. So in other words, if you're on your iPhone or some of these devices, this blue light, which is something that the cornea that your eye cannot block out, will cause this degeneration. They're saying right now it's still a little early to tell, that it hasn't been tested on humans, but when they've done scientific studies, it has shown a great degradation of these molecules in your eyes, and it's apparently causing a toxic chemical that is creating it, and ultimately a loss of vision. This comes at the same time that there's a new study out that says that Americans are spending nearly half of their waking hours. Think about this, Curtis. Half of their waking hours, 42% looking at the screen. And when they told it out, this is based on, they say, the average American, they assume, gets 8 hours of beauty rest a night. You and I don't get that for sure, but the average American gets 8 hours. They say that they actually spend another 6 hours and 43 minutes a day looking at their screen. And if you total it out, that means 7,956 days of your life, you are looking at a screen, and think about the effects that it's having on your eyes. So, ladies and gentlemen, are we way too addicted to our devices? And are we going to suddenly see the results? Because a lot of people are getting their iPhones. It's only been, you know, in the last few years that we've had all these tablets and all these devices. And think about the effects it's having on your life, what you're going to see with your eyesight. I can tell you sometimes, Curtis, you know, I'm late at night and I'm sitting there. If I'm too much glued on my iPhone between social media, email, you know, all the different things that we all have, You know, looking at our Curtis and Cosby Facebook page and our Twitter page and all these other things, you know, yeah, you get a little blurry-eyed. I don't wear glasses yet, but sometimes I feel like maybe I'm on the verge of it after I'm looking at my social devices and looking at all these things through the wee hours.
Let's find out from our many listeners out there. Have you noticed a difference in your eyesight, a deterioration of your eyesight in which all of a sudden, as a result of constantly staring into this blue light that emerges, whether from your smartphone device, your iPhone device, or your computer screen, that now you're squinting. Now you're having to get closer to the screen in order to see things more clearly. Or, like in the case of my wife, Nancy Sliwa, who's an e-attorney, who spends about 8 hours a day just going through all these logs and logs that are all online. When I get to our home at night, it's all dark. There's no lights on.
Right.
Because she has some form of macular degeneration. I forgot what she described it as being. But it's clear that the light intensely bothers her vision because she's always staring at the big screen on her laptop computer, her work computer, and going through all these documents. And because so much of what work requires now is that you be online, you be staring at these screens, I got to believe it's going to take its toll. You know, it used to be when I was growing up, the big fear that the old timers had is that they would develop cataracts.
Right.
Cataracts was the fear coming out of Europe and Africa. Oh, my God. We would see elderly people who could not see, and they would have this film over their eye. I remember my grandfather, Fidelio Bianchino, he had cataracts, and he had to go for brand new surgery at the time, and he was wearing these like goggles, these black goggles for weeks.
Right, they look like skydivers. Right,
and I had to be escorting him around with his cane in order to get that film off of his eyes, the cataract operation. But because of the recent wave of all of this blue light that we're constantly absorbing into our eyes, there's no doubt it's taking its toll through macular degeneration. And I'd like to know what some of the people out there do in order to try to limit the kind of damage that you know damn well it's doing to your eyes,
right,
your kids' eyes, your grandchildren's
and
eyes.
And also psychologically, too. I mean, you think about psychologically, you're sitting there staring like Nancy, like you said, and my better half, Tom, I come back and he sometimes looks like John Lennon. He's got those little glasses. He has these orange glasses that he says kind of reflect the blue light. I actually remember hearing about this blue light years and years ago. But I do want to put it out to our callers. What kind of effect do you think this is having on your life, on your eyesight, on your mental health, your physical health? Because it does create a numbing effect. I'll tell you, I was sitting there and I told you I had a lot of carrots when I was little. So I feel like I've always had pretty decent eyesight. You know, I don't have glasses, but I'm telling you, after a couple hours, after you're sitting there online, by the time you get through your emails and you get through the social media and all that stuff, your brain's in a haze and your eyesight, you're kind of going, God, maybe I do need glasses after a while.
No doubt. Our number is 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. And, you know, just when you mentioned that blue light, it reminded me.
Oh, do-do-do-do.
What's today's date? Rita Cosby, what is today's date?
What is today's date? It is today's the August 14th. Is it an anniversary
of
what?
You know what August 15th is. I'm going to have to talk about it at some point tomorrow. The anniversary of the 500,000 strong going up the New York State Thruway in 1969.
Ooh,
to the Woodstock.
Woodstock anniversary.
Rolling around in the mud. There was no internet. There was no iPhones, smartphones. It was all word of mouth.
But guess what? They saw a haze. You know how we see a haze from looking
through
the
haze.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. They saw a whole of. By the way, you know where I thought you were going, my friend? I thought, you know, I went over, you know, and I went to like where the whole area of, you know, all the UFO sightings in Vegas. I thought you were going to go to the blue light from the creatures coming down.
No, the blue light I'm focused on now is the blue light that is destroying the eyesight of my wife, Nancy. Let's go to Jay, who's calling from Port Chester. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here on WABC. Jay.
Hi, Jay.
How are you doing, guys? I'm not sure when the study came out, but some of the phones now actually have a feature where you can filter out that blue light. Yes. I have a Samsung Galaxy, and I can filter out that blue light.
But now, are you convinced, and you're right, because I've seen those, and I told you my guy has these little glasses that look almost like John Lennon. They're like these orange glasses, and I've seen a lot of guys who are on the computer a lot, and gals, they use it because it's supposed to reflect, and that some of them have that screen. But let me ask you, don't you still think by sitting there, you're staring at numbers all day, you're staring that it's still going to have some effect on you, Jay?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I try to limit my phone time, and my kids, too. I limit the time on their tablets. But, I mean, it definitely has some kind of effect. It has to.
And I'll tell you, I told you, I have pretty good eyesight. I used to have a lot of carrots and stuff when I was little. But after the other day, I was sitting there going, God, it's getting a little foggy. It's getting a little, because you sit there after a while, you're like, everything's melding together.
So, Rita, you believe that Bugs Bunny myth that if you ate stalks of carrots.
Yes, I do.
It would improve your eyesight and strengthen the iris in your eyes.
That and good genes.
Our number is 1-800-848-WABC. Let's go to Jim, who's calling from Brooklyn. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here on WABC. Jimmy.
Hi, Jim.
How are you? First, I wanted to thank Rita very much. I heard her interview on Talk One regarding her book about her father. It was fascinating.
Oh, thank you, Jim. Yes. Thank you very much.
Yes. Now, I want to talk about, first of all, the best source of poppy seeds is on the Jewish holiday of Purim. You know the hamantash with the three corners of the pastry? There are three varieties. One of them is filled with poppy seeds, okay? Not that I need it for that.
Well, that we're going to be talking about that tomorrow.
Yeah, now. Jim, you got to tune in tomorrow at 12:30 because we're going to be talking
about
that.
Because the hamantash that I bring when I'm sitting shiva for somebody there, I could claim if I fail a drug test, it's because I was eating the hamantash on my way to shiva.
Well, you know, there are always
8 days of shiva.
There are always these rumors, too, of like, you know, you eat a Snickers, you get like an intense amount of sugar or poppy seed. Those were like the two things. Like, you know, as a teen, it was like have a Snickers bar in your glove compartment.
Let's go to Sharon in Jersey. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here on WABC. Sharon.
Hi, Sharon.
Hi, how you all doing? Listen, there are blue light filters you can get. Just look it up. You can get glasses from the eye doctor. Or you can, download a filter for your computer or your devices that block that blue light.
Now, let me ask you a question. As a result of this blue light, my wife, Nancy, cannot see as crystal clear as she should be able to. That's why she always closes all the lights in whatever confines she's in. If she uses this filter and she finally sees me for the age that I am,
oh,
I'm 64.
Wait, do you think she'll ask for a divorce?
I think so. She wanted an annulment because she said, I was looking at him, you know, through the blue light, and I thought he was like my age, 35.
I thought he was a teenager.
Right.
Oh, so Sharon, don't tell Nancy about the blue light.
Oh, how funny. Well, I'm sure she's under the care of an eye doctor, so that should really...
No, Curtis will not allow her to go to the eye doctor.
Not under the care of... No, I'm not letting her go.
Yeah.
My voice may sound old, but according to her, I look young.
No, but when she touches you and says, oh, there's your nose, right?
Sharon, she thinks I look young. I'm 64, so why would I want to change
right.
that?
Right. Why would you ruin a good thing?
This way, she keeps all the lights off in the room, the darker the better. I just have to get over
By the way, Sharon, you and I know some guys look better in the dark. You know that.
Okay, then. I just wanted you to know that.
No, I appreciate that. But guess what? Thank you, but no thank you. Oh, boy, that would really bust my
bubble.
Yeah,
don't you dare. I'm happy to say Tom has very good eyesight. He's very precise.
Well, the only thing I got to work on now is my voice. You know, my voice.
No, your
Tom,
voice.
I know, but it's, you know, it sounds a little older
no,
than
that. No, there's some guys who are like 15 who have that voice.
I mean, look, you listen to Brian Mangalucci and you listen to Christian, our board operator and phone screener, the hipsters
like
and millennials.
12.
They sound like, that's me. Yes, that's me.
Well, that's
why.
I
don't want to sound like that.
You don't want to sound like that. Maybe we'll give him
that
some poppy
so
seeds
unmanly,
tomorrow.
So unmanly. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, help me with my plight. My wife, Nancy, is almost as blind as a bat as a result of looking into screen.
Now, when she has her glasses off, can she look around or no?
She squints.
She squints.
She does a lot of squinting.
Yeah, see, I'm convinced, and I told you, Tom also squints a lot too, and he has glasses. They're both on computer a lot.
Yes.
That's why we
and
are
I'm going to keep
bright-eyed and bushy-eyed.
Because she looks at me and she goes, oh, you look so young. It's got to be that blue light. It really does.
Maybe it's one of those, you know, on TV, they use these filters, you know. Sometimes us, we say, hey, add another filter.
Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my picture. Please, the soft filters. That's what the schnoz, Barbara Streisand,
yeah,
always
she would
used
say,
to tell.
She would say, put the camera 500 feet away.
That's right.
Do three
she would tell
filters.
Barbara Walters in those specials, I want that soft filter on my schnoz.
Yeah, then you know when you look, it looks so fuzzy. You're like, wait, is it my eye? Every viewer thought they had bad eyesight.
That's right. Hey, Barbara Streisand, we could tell you got the big schnoz. Don't worry about it. 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. You know something, Rita Cosby, we talked about macular degeneration, losing that as a result of looking at the screen on your laptop or your worktop computer or your iPhone or your smartphone or any of your technology. I remember towards the latter part of my father Chester's life, he began to suffer from that. And every time we take him out to a restaurant, whether it was Father's Day or other holidays, he would pull out one of these Sherlock Holmes huge magnifying glasses, you know, with all the bells and whistles, the lights on, to read the menu, you know, and it was sort of like you could actually almost like show the shadow up on the wall and everybody could read the menu. It was that large.
Right.
Or I've seen people, it's sort of like when Brian Mangalucci was going to get married and he was trying to get up every nickel, dime, and penny that he could. And he was going around to all these diamond exchange places, and he was trying to get cash, you know, for rings he had given to other girlfriends in the past who had given it back to him because they didn't want anything to do with him as
right.
a deadbeat.
Right. Well, because the rings were, like, so small. You needed a microscope to
yeah.
even see the rings.
But
so,
he went
you know,
to, he went to 40, 47th Street, you know, the diamond district, where they're all the Weisenheimers are there. And he brought one of those cubic zirconium rings he had given to one of his first girlfriends.
And he tried to claim it was the real deal, and they said it's worth a quarter.
Well,
right?
You know, they have, what do they call that? That monocular on them,
yes.
in which they look
yes.
at it.
They put them on your eyes, exactly.
And they're they like, actually said to Brian Mangalucci, you want us to call the cops on you now, or will you just leave this place because you're trying to rip us off?
By the way, speaking of cops, word just comes, a judge has refused to toss out a lawsuit accusing Harvey Weinstein of sex trafficking. So if the issue is against Harvey, as we've been talking about the doorman and the pervs and all that this hour, new word that a judge is refusing to toss out a lawsuit. This is not just the assault stuff, but the judge is saying we're going to move forward with a sex trafficking case. So Harvey Weinstein's got a lot of police problems and a lot of legal problems to deal with.
Thank God they're finally prosecuting him, because remember, just like the NYPD won't prosecute the guy who sends schlong pictures to unwanted women for months. The DA of Manhattan, White Shoes Vance.
Cyrus, yep.
Refused to prosecute Harvey, even though the NYPD had the evidence. Let's go to Eric and Mahwah. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here on WABC. Eric.
Hi, Eric.
Great show as always, guys. Always.
Thank you,
listen,
Eric.
That blue light stuff is not good. I mean, since we were kids, I'm 66, okay? I'm up there like with you, Curtis.
Really old. You're like almost 1 foot in the grave.
I don't look my age, but I have wrinkles on the inside. But growing up as a kid, you know, you watch TV and you always used to watch the CRT screens, and your parents just said, don't get too close or ruin your eyes. Well, I'm severely nearsighted, and because of that, I have detached retina like 2 years ago, and then tomorrow I'm going to the NYU Medical Center to get a cornea transplant.
Ooh, hey, but Eric, let me ask you, how much of looking at it do you think contributed to your eye problems?
Well, the eye problem, I guess because of the too much. You know, once we are over 40, you're going to need those glasses.
You know, be honest, Eric. Be honest,
Eric. I'm over 40. I can see Curtis crystal clear.
Once you got the big...
I'm talking for reading.
I don't use them for reading either yet, Eric.
But for guys...
Oh, that's great. You have good genes.
Yep. The reason...
I have four kids, and all of them need glasses. They're all nearsighted.
I know.
I don't know where they got the bad gene from. I don't know where I got it.
I know.
But it will... Too much of the, you know, the phone and too much of the laptop and all that stuff...
Yeah, but Eric, it started long, long back when you were watching TV, and you weren't losing your eyesight.
Wayne and the Lone Ranger and Superman.
Nah,
you know,
it had nothing to do with that. Don't you remember the warning that Mom and Dad used to give you if you played with yourself, that you would go blind if you masturbated?
Well, halfway
Eric.
Right. You see, Eric? You see? You're between watching TV with your corneas up against the screen and masturbating at home, you're lucky you're not a blind guy today.
So is that true, or is that like the poppy seed defense?
Well, look how many guys out there can barely see, right?
Well, by the way, some of our offensive callers, they're going to have to learn that pretty quickly.
And up next, we're going to talk about pee-gasm and also what they're doing to Paris to help guys who are busting a gut. It may be coming to New York City faster than you would expect. But first, let's get the news headlines and updates from Jerry Barmash.
The best contacts. The Red Berets are helping the cities in beer. The best sources.
Rita, that was an explosive interview.
Chasing it down. Curtis and Cosby, 77 WABC.
We go back. This is the moment. Tonight is the night. We'll fight till it's over. So we put our hands up like the ceiling can't hold us. Like the ceiling can't hold us.
Can we go back?
This is the there moment. Is a trend is called pee-gasm. We've all experienced it, men and women. And it happens on a regular basis. You're hustling and bustling. You're drinking cup after cup of coffee. Like Rita Cosby, you've been told now that drinking multiple cups of coffee a day is going to lengthen your life, give you a better quality of life. Whereas years ago, remember, it said you would have cardiac arrest and you'd be dropping from heart attacks and strokes.
Does that count when I add, like, hazelnut and all my little fruity flavors?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right, load up.
Okay, but then your bladder's ready to burst. But then you have the folks who are always walking around with a bottle of water. It could be Poland Spring. It could be some exotic foreign Norwegian bottled water, or it can be their own bottled water, and they're constantly hydrating themselves, but their bladders are right at the point of busting loose. And then all of a sudden you're in a meeting, you can't leave the meeting, your bosses are dominating the discussion, so you know what you do, you squeeze your gams and you take deep breaths
and you start turning blue after a while.
Right. And, well, you're in public transportation, right? And you know you're never going to find a public lavatory out there.
Nor do you want to.
Right. And you begin to realize that, my God, I'll eventually find this oasis out there where I can irrigate whatever it is, the porcelain palace, a wall, whatever. And all of a sudden, you finally find that. And you relieve yourself, and you're like, They call that pee-gasm. In fact, Rita Cosby, in study after study, more so amongst women, men, they'll just get the relief, and they'll give that sigh of relief. Particularly after, like, Brian Mangalucci, he's been hanging out with his Massapequa crew, and they've been down in those brewskis.
The cheap ones.
Right, and they're outside, and they're irrigating, you know, the flowers in front of the gin mill there, you
right,
know.
In front of small children, too.
Right, exactly. But for women, they're actually getting orgasms from pee-gasm. Because they squeeze their gams so hard, it affects their clitoral region, and so they actually look forward to having to hold their bladder.
All right, so I have a confession. I've never had a pee-gasm, and I'm curious, ladies out there and guys, do you know if your gals have had pee-gasms, and maybe guys have had some sort of... I will tell you that as a, you know, I've been a journalist a long time and out in the field, and this is something, not the pee-gasm part, but the holding it. There are so many issues, by the way. There's the plus of the pee-gasm, which is this, like, apparently some people have this great feeling of awe and relief and all that. I've never had that. But I will say, you know, there's a problem among a lot of reporters, and I don't think we've ever talked about this publicly, but most of my colleagues, when we've been in the field, I'll tell you, half of the people that probably covered the Monica Lewinsky case, we had to stand outside for hours upon hours. You can't leave because suddenly she'd walk
that's
outside
right,
or the subway. So you there would be no bathroom. You'd be in the middle of no man's land. And so many people who are reporters in the field often have, like, bladder problems or whatever, you know?
If I had been your producer...
You'd bring a cup.
No, I would have said, Rita, you can't miss Monica getting out. You got to get that exclusive, or at least get that first shot.
Right, you got to get the shot.
I want you to strap this catheter on. Keep the catheter on.
That would look really great with a nice tight, well, a nice tight dress.
Right, nobody's going to be looking at that. It's more important to get the shot. But there have been people who have worn catheters.
Curtis,
as
you're
a
creating,
result.
You could create a new device.
Remember, there was the Uber driver who had the little can next to him because he couldn't leave the vehicle, so he would actually have his peegasm into the can. There are so many folks out there, particularly people who drive from place to place. Where do you find a place to actually relieve yourself?
Well, remember, there was that story recently of the Uber driver who had to go to the bathroom, and he just literally, because time is of the essence,
right,
you're in traffic,
bottle.
He had a little bottle, and the customers were like, yuck. But I am curious, so many of you out there listening are driving. What do you do? How do you find relief? How do you get around it when you have a job? And how many of you have jobs like Uber drivers, like other ride-sharing, taxis?
Yeah, look,
what do you guys
look,
do?
Our own Brian Mongaluch, board operator, our producer,
he had to go to the
bathroom. He had to take a pee.
You know what? All this
break.
Talk about water. It's like, you know,
exactly.
You know, it's like when you have a water fountain, people go, God, suddenly I got to go to the bathroom.
Yeah. Oh, if you hear water, all of a sudden you hear any sound of water. It causes you to want to have to go.
So what do you have to do, everybody, ladies and gentlemen? What are the tricks out there? If you're a driver out there, if you're a bus driver, taxi driver, a conductor, what do you do? It's 1-800-848-9222.
And
the music.
And have you had a peegasm out there? 1-800-848-9222. But the country of France has come to our rescue. That's right.
Viva la France.
Underneath the Champs-Élysées. The French have begun to install public urinals. That means you as a guy, because they've had a problem, they have public urination. We have that here in New York City. They've had it in San Francisco, L.A., a whole host. They have decided to put out public urinals so that when all of a sudden you're looking at the Notre Dame, the Cathedral of Notre Dame.
Is it covered? They're covered, I hope, right?
You're looking for the Hunchback of Notre Dame all the way up there near the Bell Castle. And you're looking at the Seine River, and then all of a sudden, don't worry about it. You can go answer the calls. They're all lit up while our Brian Mongaluch is taking
his
pee break.
He's going to the bathroom. Oh, my God.
The time that he takes it, he had his peegasm. He got all excited. We were talking about that.
See, I think it's harder for guys, I think, to hold it in. Maybe there's something physical about us gals. And I'm curious, am I missing out? I haven't heard about this peegasm until
now.
Did that feel great? So now you know what I'm going to be doing? I'm going to be in a meeting, Curtis, and I'm going to be like holding onto a pen. And when you see me turn blue and then come back with a smile,
but leave it to
you,
the
know
French.
I had a peegasm.
Leave it to the French. They have come up with an answer. Let's go to John out in Wayne. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here at WABC. Johnny?
Hi, Johnny. Hey, John, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah, what do you do if you got to go to the bathroom?
Yes, this is what I do. I go in 7-Eleven in the morning. I get a coffee. By 10 o'clock, I'm done. I keep the cup. I open both doors and stand up, look in sky and people passing, and I fill it up and, you know.
Now, John, do you see the birds fly by, and is there a rainbow, too, at the same time?
A couple of days ago, there was a beautiful lady who wanted to talk to me, asking me for direction.
Oh!
And I was talking. I was talking to her, and she was very nice. She said, thank you very much. You know, she didn't say anything I can do for you.
John, did you ever get a little mashug, a little ubats? You forgot that you relieved yourself into the coffee cup. You picked up the coffee cup and you drank from it.
No, don't go there.
That'll happen. And you're getting older. Dementia's going to kick in. You're going to have forgotten that you did that.
Just don't share your coffee with anyone else.
Let's go to Jill in Bloomfield. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here on WABC. Jill.
Hi, Jill.
Yes, guys, I am a traveling hairdresser. I work in Manhattan, and I'm out all day long without an official bathroom. So I am an expert on every bathroom you can use in New York City without buying anything.
So do you have it, like, mapped out, Jill? By the way, I appreciate a good hairdresser. You know, I get that, girlfriend.
Yes, and you don't have to. They don't, at hospitals, they do not ID you. So you can go in and go to the bathroom and leave. It's not a bad thing to do.
Now, what about, do you run into emergency and go, I got an emergency?
Yes. Well, I'm 54, so I'm not a youth. So I have those moments. I never had a peegasm.
Never had. But
me
now,
either, Joe.
Now
never
you know. Had. Now you know what you got to do is squeeze your gams. Squeeze your gams. And it is the equivalent, according to many women, of a full-blown orgasm.
But you have to be—you have to be blue already, and have had to not go to the bathroom for a day or two, Joe. There's a drawback.
Let's go to Christine calling from Lake George. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here at WABC. Christine.
Hello, Curtis, and hello, Rita.
Hello.
Hello, Curtis. I'm Christine from Saratoga. I met you a couple of times up there at the Jim Dandy.
Oh yeah.
Again, this. Saratoga Racetrack. You remember me?
I definitely do, Christine.
Okay. Well, here's the thing. I live in Queens. I go to Belmont all the time. I vacation up here at Lake George, so I'm always at Saratoga, so I got to make the trip back and forth for vacation and back. I wear a diaper.
You wear a diaper?
So you wear it depends.
Wait, but Christine, you're 22.
I'm not 22. I am 65.
All right, well, Christine, hold on a second. You're right in that age range where it could still work for you. Don't wear the Depends.
Or are you going to suggest a catheter?
No.
Wear?
Squeeze your gams, hold out as long as you can, and finally you find a rest stop on the New York State Thruway, and you will experience not only relief in when you're flushing the toilet, but according to these studies, even at the age of 65, you'll have orgasm called peegasm.
Just make sure your husband has earmuffs on, okay? You know what, though, Christine? By the way, Christine is smart because, you know, the Times Square folks, you know, when they come out, that's what, you know, you even see teenagers who are out there because, you know, the security, Times Square, New Year's. A lot of them are wearing diapers and Depends.
Oh, yeah, they're following that trend.
More than 8 hours
they can't get out.
Yeah, you can't get out. You can't do this. You can't do that. So Christine's
give
on
up the Depends, Christine. Enjoy your peegasms. And if you don't make it to the rest stop along the New York State Thruway up to St. George or Lake George, up to Saratoga or Lake George, so you had an accident.
I want to hear from any ladies out there. If you have ever had a peegasm, are Christine and I missing out on something? I think we are.
Just squeeze your gams. 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Now, what happens when you got to hold it and you experience peegasm? Let's go to Richard, who's calling from the Bronx. Welcome to WABC, Rich.
Hi, Rich.
Curtis, let me tell you what to do. I cut a 3-inch little slot in my left leg pants.
And?
And I pull it out, and I got a little bottle that I have. I have throw my jacket over me because I'm sitting in the casino playing the slot machine. And I go in the bottle because everybody else wants that machine because I'm going to run out of money and lose.
You know what that's called, Richard? That's called a gambling addict. That's what that's called.
But guess what? My pants don't get wet.
And you don't lose your lucky slot machine.
You don't lose your lucky slot machine.
Oh, my God, boy. That's called desperation.
No, that's smart.
What's the song that Kenny Rogers, Knowing to Hold 'Em, Knowing to Hold 'Em?
Whether you're at Empire City, right, out there in Howard Beach, Ozone
or
Park.
Or Hard Rock Cafe in AC.
Yonkers. That's right. You don't want to lose your lucky slot machine.
Stay away from the guy in the trench coat.
So you pee in a bottle. Smart, Rich.